Our text today will be 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12 again. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. And if you are able to stand where you are, would you please do so? And I'd like to read the scriptures in your hearing and ask God to speak to us from His Word. Vicariously through me, this poor lump of clay, but we together want to hear from God, from the Scriptures. 1 John 5, verse 6, it reads, "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has borne concerning His Son." Verse 10. "Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Finally, verse 12, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Amen. Father, please speak clearly. Speak succinctly, speak directly, speak, Lord. Your people listen. Grant us grace then to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is the testimony within you. The testimony within you. Last week, we considered the testimony of God concerning Jesus, the unique Son of God. The testimony of God concerning Jesus as the only one, the only God-man, the one who has become flesh, the Word that has become flesh. And we saw last week that God has given three divine witnesses to confirm who Jesus is. Remember that last week? We just read it again. The water and the blood and the Holy Spirit. These three agree in the testimony that Jesus is the unique Son of God. He's the same from the beginning of His earthly ministry at the water at baptism to the end of His ministry there at Golgotha as He died for the sins of you and me. He's the same Christ, the same Messiah. He did not change. We saw God there dying for us, God's only Son, the only God-man, the only Lamb of God. These three agree, the water and the blood and the Holy Spirit speak down through time. This is the Son of God. And so John has taken great pains and great detail to make sure that's clear to those who have what? An ear to hear. And then he said, the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men. Remember that in verse 9? If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he is born concerning his son. God said, I will speak. And at the baptism, God said, this is my beloved son, and I am well pleased with him. He spoke directly. It was that important. Jesus Christ is important enough that God would speak from heaven to say, this is him. You've been waiting for centuries. He's here. Now on the cross, God's still speaking. Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But there God is, God brings the clouds and the earthquake. God is still speaking. That's the Son of, that's the Lamb of God dying right there. Too important to miss. And so God's testimony is greater. It's greater. It's greater in importance. Whatever God has to say is so much higher than what you and I have to say. It's insignificant. Job said, I put my hand on my mouth. I've spoken out of turn, Lord. Let me be still. Shut up and listen to you. So it's greater. Testimony of God is greater. Greater. So we've considered then the testimony of men, the testimony of God concerning Jesus. Today we're going to look at the testimony within us. Right? The testimony. Isn't God good? Just gives you testimony. It gives you. There's no. Those who stand before the judge will have no excuse because God has given every opportunity for those that would believe his son. Aren't you thankful that you heard? Not me. I'm not talking about heard a preacher. I'm talking about you heard from God. So let's look then at this testimony within us, all right? So I divided it up this way for a way to think about this thing. I want to look at the purpose of the testimony within you and then what I call the content of it. Why did God give it? And then what is it, right? What is this testimony within us? And so let's go. Let's look at this together. The purpose of the testimony within you. I see that in verse 10. And here's the way I unraveled it or unpacked it to help me think through this issue. The testimony within the Christian, or the testimony within the person, I should say, does two things. It confirms and it condemns. It confirms and it condemns. There's no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. Amen. You either accept him or you reject him. That's it. That's the reason God has given the testimony. And we'll see here in just a minute. When you reject Christ, you reject God. You reject him. God has said, this is him. Believe. When you reject that, you reject all that God is saying. So, the first aspect then of the testimony within is to confirm those who will believe. The testimony within us is designed to confirm those who will believe. This is the way I see it. Look at verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. As we've already seen, God has given us the true and divine testimony that Jesus is the only redeemer for sinners. Jesus is the only redeemer to save sinners. God has said it irrevocably, unequivocally. He is the one. Now, not only has God given the testimony, but God goes further and he also gives us the ability to repent and the faith to believe the testimony. Isn't this wonderful? God gives the testimony, and then he gives you the ability to repent and believe it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. That Ephesians 2:8. It is the gift of who? God. No man can boast. No man can boast. Why did you believe, Willie? God did it. Now, I had to believe, but God had to start. I had to be born again before I could believe. Amen. You understand? You still got to believe, but you can't believe until God does something first. He gives you the ability to repent. And I say to anyone, don't forget this. When you're trying to overcome sin, God has to grant you repentance. There's too much fake repentance. God has to give you repentance. That's where change comes. When God has changed you, you have been changed. You don't need 10 steps. I know I'm looking at some. I know. You know what I'm talking about. 10 steps didn't deliver you. 10 steps is not keeping you. You don't need to keep a card under your pillow. No, you need God inside. That's much better than a card in your wallet. That's better than having them little pop-up verses on your telephone and all that stuff. I'm not minimizing the value, but that's not what keeps you. Grace, we've been saved by grace, and then the Bible says that at the time you were saved, God sends His Spirit to come make His home where? In you. You don't believe that? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. God is so wonderful. Ephesians 1:13 says this. In Him, look at the process. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When did He come to make His home in you? When you heard and when you believed. As a matter of fact, Paul is so emphatic about this issue in Romans 8. He says that if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you don't belong to God. Romans 8:9. Now, you getting this? God gave the testimony. God gave you the ability to repent and believe. And God gave the Holy Spirit. Where does salvation come from? Salvation is of the Lord. That's the reason you can rest. It's of the Lord. That's the firm foundation, the Lord. It's God's work. You're no rehab. That's the reason you don't want your salvation to rest on your decision. Your salvation rests on the Lord. Yeah.
That's the reason so many people fall away when they write their names on these cards, send them in, a card of dedication or whatever. That card can't save you. Walking down front doesn't save you. So many people are disappointed because their hope is resting in these actions. Salvation depends on the Lord. Now, even though you believe to be saved, I wanted you to see that it's God who gives the testimony, God who gives the faith, and God who gives the Spirit that actually keeps us believing. Isn't that wonderful? God so secures us that He makes sure that once He saves us, we are going home. So I put the guarantee in you. Isn't that wonderful? We fail. Well, what brings about repentance? The Spirit in you. That's the reason John could say what he said early on in 1 John. The true Christian cannot continue in habitual sin because God is in you. Now, it may go on for a while. Look at David. It may go on for a while. But the God in you, you may keep trying to suppress Him, but you can't win. Sin makes you act like you're out of your mind. Because sin, we've talked about this before, you actually are out of your mind for a brief period of time there. You have to be crazy to disobey God. That's right. And so what sin does is it takes you out of your mind. The devil wants you to, he doesn't want you to be in your right mind. But the Holy Spirit says, Willie, what's wrong with you? And that's the way it has to happen sometimes. That's when you need to get along with God. What is wrong with you? Why are you acting crazy? That's what real crazy means. Why are you acting like a fool? Now, you need to be careful when you call people fools. You're acting like you don't believe in God. You're acting like you don't know what God will do to you. You may be God's child, but He's still God. And all of us as children know what that means. There are times my parents sure enough had to put me in my place. Now, I'm still that child, but I'd lost my mind for a little while. They had to bring me back to my senses. You know, that old lip getting out of place. They put the lip back in place. All right. So you understand. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we were saved by believing God. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that we overcome by continuing to believe God. You live holy the same way you were saved. You had to believe God to be saved. The only way you're going to live holy and overcome this world is to what? Believe God. Believe what He says. Why? Because the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand how long? Forever. Jesus said it this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. The same word that saved me, I need to keep me. Our confidence comes from the testimony within us. You know how Paul said it? 2 Timothy 1. Remember this? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't have to ask Peter. He didn't have to ask James or any of them. Paul says, I know. Y'all can talk about me. And they did. You don't even look like you right. I mean, really, you imagine this. This is God's messenger. You come to a church and you're getting laughed out. You don't even have the right look, Paul. And your writing was wonderful, but you can't even speak. Now, that's essentially what they told him. They dogged him out. That's what happened. But God, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I know he's able to keep what he has entrusted to me. I don't need your affirmation. Now, that's not being arrogant. He said, God has confirmed this in me. Now, it's wonderful to get affirmation from each other. But the greatest affirmation comes from who? God himself. Why? Because it's impossible for God to lie. If God says you're his child, that's the end of that. You may not look like it. And at times you may not act. And you know I don't justify sin. But even with the best of Christians, there may be times you don't act like it. That's the reason we trust God. I don't even trust my own. My righteousness is not in my actions. Amen. Oh, my. Well, so that's just the confirmation. But one of the purposes of the testimony within is to confirm this is who you are. Confirm it. Seal it. Settle it. Stop bouncing around with the folks who say, you can't be saved because you don't talk in tongues. God says I'm saved. You can't be saved because you wasn't baptized this way. God says I'm saved. And I know this is tough for you Baptists. This is tough for you Baptists. You can be saved and not dunked. Ooh. Don't pick up the stones. There was a thief on the cross. Remember him? Never made it to the baptismal. As a matter of fact, he sinned up to the last moments of his life. But before he died, Jesus says what? Today, you'll be with me. Now, it don't matter what the soldier say. It don't matter what the other thief over there said. It doesn't matter what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said. It don't matter what Peter, James, John, and Fred and Harry and nobody else said. If Jesus says today you'll be with me in paradise, that's the end of that. Isn't that good? Well, I see right now, I'm not going to finish, so just going to give you one more thought, all right? And this will be the last thought for today. So the purpose
then it's to confirm. That's one aspect of the purpose. The second aspect we see here in verse 10 is to condemn. Now, this is tough for some people. But the gospel not only saves, the gospel condemns. God gives it. The question is, what will you do with it? Now look at this. The purpose of the testimony is to confirm those who will believe, but it also condemns those who will not. Look at verse 10 again, the beginning at the second sentence. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has borne concerning his son. You hear me? God has given testimony himself about Jesus. God has presented undeniable, historical, and fully truthful evidence that Jesus is the only, the unique Son of God that has come to save sinners. It's undeniable. It's irrefutable. It's historic. It's factual. Now stay with me. God has done this himself. God has ensured that you and I sitting here in the 21st century, 2009, God has ensured that this truth has passed down, think of this, from century to century to century, to make sure that you and I get the same truth. Don't take this for granted. Think of what God had to do to make sure that you and I would be here today believing in his son. Didn't see him, didn't touch him, but oh, I believe in him. Because the testimony is true, right? So God has spoken. Now listen to me. Therefore, to reject God's testimony is to treat God as if he's not reliable. You see it? If God has worked these mighty, miraculous events to get us the truth about Jesus, to reject it is to treat God as unreliable. He's an unreliable source. This is right. Now listen to me. This is the reason it's such an offense to reject Jesus. God has said, this is him. This is the Savior. To reject that is to treat God as a liar, because I think it's someone else. This is serious. And God says, it's urgent. You need to believe in him now, because you don't know how long you're going to live. You need to believe in him now. And so for you to say, well, not just yet. You see, you treat God as unreliable. How did God know it is so urgent for me to believe in Christ? You see the problem? Now, please listen to me. Unbelief views God as an untrustworthy source. That's the reason it's such a deadly sin. Listen to me. There was Jesus tells the story of a poor man named Lazarus. Remember that? Sick and destitute. And a rich man who was there in the story with Lazarus. Remember the story? And Lazarus was treated, abusively treated in this life. But then Jesus says they both died, by the way. Rich people and poor people die. And then there are no rich people and poor people. Not like we know rich people and poor people. So Jesus says they both died, but then the story flips. Now, Lazarus is pictured in Abraham's bosom, or if you will. He's there with the Lord, enjoying life. Now. But, the rich man. Things kind of flip for him. The rich man wound up in Hades. The Bible says that he was speaking of how miserable it was. You see, hell is designed to hurt. Don't you believe these fairy tales that people are putting on TV? People rejoicing about going to hell and got their rock band and it isn't. No. There's no joy in hell. Forever. There will never be a cause for joy in hell. Hell is designed to remove everything that would cause joy. We can't fathom how awful it's going to be. Misery, pain, how long? Forever. Here's the problem with hell. There's no hope. You never have any hope of it changing. It's that way forever. And so the rich man is there saying, Father Abraham, please let me go. I got 5 brothers. Please let me go back and warn them. They don't want to come here. Please let me go back. You know what God said to him? No. They have Moses and the prophets. What is he saying? They've got the word of God. And if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe you if you rise from the dead. Now, this is powerful. If you will not believe the word of God, miracles can't help you. That's from the lips of Jesus to you and me. So you don't need to go to miracle rallies. You need to believe God now. You don't need a deliverance rally. Believe him right now. And turn with me real quick to Hebrews 10. Now this is a serious matter. I hope you all know this. You know the context here in Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, is talking about the need for us to assemble together, the danger of neglecting the assembling of ourselves together. But You know, because when we assemble together, you get to hear the Word of God, right? The Word of God is taught and preached and prayed. And so don't neglect that. You need faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. So don't neglect that. And then here's what this pastor goes on to say. Now, this is grave and this is serious. And if you've never seen this, take note of this in your Bible, okay? If you can get near a Bible, I want you to read this with me. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. I'm reading from the ESV. You read along in your version. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Now, you get this? You go on sinning after you've had the truth given. You can sin willfully. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Nothing else can bring you to repentance if you don't believe the Word of God. What's then the outcome? Look at verse 27. The only thing awaits then is a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Do you see that picture? Do you see what God is painting? Verse 28, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies. Now, don't get distracted by that. The law of Moses is what? The Word of God. Anyone who sets aside the Word of God, look at this, dies without what? Mercy. Can you imagine that? Dying without mercy. Nobody wants that. I hope not anyway. Dies without mercy on the evidence of, look at this. Haven't we talked about this? Two or three, the witnesses have already spoken. They've already spoken. Verse 29. How much worse do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God? This is what's happening when you reject the testimony. You spurn, you treat God's testimony as if it's nothing. It's irrelevant. Spurn the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has, look at that, outraged the Spirit of grace. Now, when you outrage God, do you know what's coming? Look at verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. And then I'll end with verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The God who has been warning you over and over and over. The God who has been telling you, this is my son, believe in him. The God who said to you, by this person and that person. The God who has been giving this word to you over and over again. You're going to fall. You can't hide from him. The very one who's told you this is the way will be the one that said, you didn't want this way, now you're going another way. If what I said describes you, if you know that you're here right now, and you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ again and again, you know you've heard these truths repeatedly from the pulpit, from your classroom, from in prayer time, you've read it yourself, you know that you've heard the gospel. If you know I'm describing you, my friend, I'm pleading with you. Don't go on. Don't continue to resist the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is there saying to you, this is true. He's pleading with you. This is true. He's the one that keeps bringing it up before you. This is true. Don't keep pushing him off. Don't keep procrastinating, saying maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe another time. I'm just not quite ready. I'm too young. I'm too old. Don't keep giving him excuses. Listen to him today. Listen to him today. In the day you hear my voice, that's what the scripture says. Do not harden your heart. My friend, this is not a game.
The story that we have here about the rich man and Lazarus, that's truth. And listen to me. Death has no age. You don't know. You don't know when you're going to meet the Lord. Please listen to Jesus. He says, come to me. Do it now. If you hear his voice today, come today. Now, when you know when I say come, in your heart. If you want to come down front, you can do that. But come in your heart right now. Lord, here am I. I know I need you. Do it today.
Father, please have mercy here. Father, we cannot fathom the reality of falling into the hands of the living God. Fathom the punishment, the misery that comes from rejecting Christ. Father, Father, have mercy. Father, save someone today. Calling upon you, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, work here today. Make the gospel plain. Speak succinctly to someone. Please. And Lord, for those of us who know your Son, how we thank you. Thank you for having mercy on us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for grace and mercy. Thank you for opening our own hearts to believe and to receive the gospel. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Now would you be pleased to have your way among us in Jesus' name. Amen.